Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, and I pray that by our worship we might hear that call and respond to that call, that Jesus passes to us to be generous in our faith and to be trusting and faithful disciples who follow in his way and who are willing to risk on behalf of the gospel. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live-streamed or our broadcast worship. No matter how we enter this worship this day, we may all know that by the power of the Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we'd like to thank our worship leaders for their time and talents this day that they're giving of, our liturgists, our greeters, our ushers, and also we'll have a few singers today, including Beth Canterbury and Sarah Beth Guptill and Sarah Lynn Keller. So we will enjoy their music as well this day. I want to remind us all that we have a covenant for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside cover of your bulletin. For those of you who are here worshiping in person, this is one of the ways we remember the agreements we have about how we're going to be together in worship. So for those of you who are at home, we invite you to light the Christ candle along with me as I do that here. So if you haven't already done so yet, have a candle ready to light when we do that, right after the announcements. And also, this is the time to prepare the communion elements that you'll use for today's communion. So something that you might have that would serve as bread or as wine, and of course, anything will do to make that work. So we will enjoy being in communion with you on this day. And for those of you who are in person, you should have received a prepackaged communion set. If you haven't done that, hold your hand up, and an usher will make sure to get one to you. These can be a little tricky. You'll notice that there's a plastic top that has to be peeled off. And that will reveal the little wafer that's underneath. And then below that is a foil, another foil that you'll open up to open up the juice that's within. So we invite you to do that. And if you're having any trouble with that, again, you can just give a little wave and an usher will assist you with that. We want to encourage you to be the generous folks who you are, and in one specific way, we are thinking about this at this time, and that specific way is through our planned giving for our coming year, the 2022 church year. And so we know that this is a little early for all of us. We usually do this deeper into the fall season, but because of our capital campaign, we've adjusted our schedule, so it may have come as a surprise to you to receive estimate of giving cards and that invitation, but we encourage you to continue to respond as you think about how you will support the mission and ministry of this church through your money gifts, supporting its annual giving. For those of you who are in person, I also want to remind us that during our prayer time, we invite you to use the index cards that you'll find there in the pew. And to write the prayer requests that you have. These, again, will, if you hold them up around the time of the prayer, an usher will collect them and we'll be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. And for those of you at home, you can do this by emailing us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. So I'd like to invite forward John Wiegraff, who has a message from the spiritual support team of the Capital Campaign. John.
Good morning. So yes, I am representing the spiritual support team. And you may have noticed over the last couple of weeks, there was an insert in a bulletin inviting people to kind of share prayerful spiritual thoughts and reflections about our capital campaign. There's also a link in the Tuesday link, Google poll that the church puts out. So I want to invite people to go in and share your thoughts and feelings. You know, every time I come into this church, I sit here and I think about the fact that this church has been here since 1873, 1874. This congregation has been a congregation since 1651. The thing I enjoyed about David's poem that he shared last week was he kind of focused on some of those pivotal moments in the life and the history of this congregation. And I'm a bit of a history buff, and I have a sense of what was done at those times. I don't necessarily know what people thought and felt about what they were doing. So the way I look at this Google poll, whether it's in the insert or you go online, this is an opportunity for us to record what we thought and felt about what we're doing at this pivotal moment in our time. In the history of this church. And our intention, the intention of the spiritual support team, is to compile our thoughts and feelings in some fashion so that we can share this with your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. So please, take a couple of minutes and give some thought to what you're thinking and feeling about what we're doing now, so we can share that with future generations. Thank you.
And now I'd like to invite forward Doug Hanna and Gail Martin. You will recognize them as the co-chairs of our Faith in Our Future Capital campaign.
Thanks, Jonathan. We are excited this morning because at 12 noon we'll all be gathering on Zoom to hear more about the Capital campaign. And we wanted to say that for that reason, today after worship, we won't be having an in-person fellowship coffee hour so that we can rush you all home so that you can join the Zoom. The Zoom is also going to be available downstairs in the vestry, I'm told. So either go home and you can check your email communications for the link to your email link that will have the Zoom link in it. Yesterday, it was a beehive of activity downstairs in the vestry. It was like Santa's workshop.
Right, and Santa's workshop, as you know, is always busy preparing gifts, and hopefully that's something that almost all of you received magically on your doorstep yesterday. So just like when you were a little kid, channel that excitement that what you wanted to do was race downstairs and open that present on Christmas morning just as soon as possible. We'll channel that. As soon as Tom's magnificent postlude is done, race right on out of here to home so that you'll be ready to open your present with us as part of our Zoom kickoff. We are so excited and hope to see you there.
Again, the link to the Capital campaign kickoff, the Zoom link is in the church email link, which would have been emailed to you on Friday or this morning. And if you're having any trouble finding this, please email me at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org, and I will make sure that you have that link and that you can be with us. We look forward to that time. As I light this candle now, I invite those of you who are at home to invite light their candles along with me, thereby representing the Spirit of the living Christ that is in our midst.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration from Psalm 104. Bless God, O my soul. The works of God are bountiful. The hands of God are open. Let us rejoice in God's works and blessings.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, loving God, in Christ, you have gifted us with new truth and new life. You invite us to be followers of your way, your representatives in the world. By your Spirit, renew us in heart and mind, strength and will, that as we are faithful to our calling and commission, our lives may be an extension of our worship. Amen.
Remaining physically distant and yet remaining open to one another and to the Spirit of the living God in our midst, I invite all of you now to share the peace of Christ, to perhaps reach out your hands in a gesture of blessing, or place your hands over your hearts with the intention of opening yourselves to God's peace and sharing your peace with the spirits of others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which recognizes that there is a divine within each person, and it honors that divine that is there. The peace of Christ be with you. Oh, right. I'm sorry, we had a little change. Yeah. We would like to invite the children to go downstairs for godly play. And may God be with you there, as God is with us here. Enjoy that new tent down there. So, beloved people of God, let us now bring our gifts and our trust in our loving God, who is pleased by our offerings this day. Let our hearts be one with another as we are generous of spirit. Let us pray together. Giving God and Jesus, you have blessed us with the great gift of the good news of your love. And so in gratitude, we make this offering that your blessing may be multiplied and extended to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1a and 14 through 30. Jesus tells his disciples a parable. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. For it is if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here ends the reading for today.
I invite you to please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a few months ago, my wife said something to me that absolutely chilled me to the bone. She said, "Ellie is finally ready to learn how to drive." Dun, dun, dun. All right. Nothing could have produced such terror in me, especially when I remembered back several years ago when our oldest daughter, Sarah, was learning how to drive. I recalled sitting in the passenger seat, calmly giving advice, and inside I was an absolute wreck. It wasn't that Sarah was a reckless speed demon. She was actually just the opposite. I've shared before with you that I spent this past summer driving with Ellie, 25-year-old Ellie now, so that she could learn how to drive, and it's actually been really wonderful. But I think I also may have told some of you at least about a father who I was commiserating with at the time when I was teaching Sarah how to drive those years ago. And he was also telling me about his son. His son, who was creating fear and trembling within him as he sat next to him, learning how to drive. Not because his son drove wildly, but because the young man was tentative beyond belief. The first time they drove on the highway, the kid takes the ramp to approach the highway, and he slows down to merge, but he keeps slowing down, and finally he comes to a complete stop. Comes to a complete stop when he sees vehicles speeding by and he can't figure out how to get out into traffic. He's never done it before, of course. And so what happens? Cars, of course, pull up behind him, right? And those cars continue to pull up behind them. And as you can imagine, those cars start to honk. And the honks are sounding. And the boy is frozen. So finally, the dad, until this point, as he told me, a model of composure. Imagine the Buddha in the passenger seat. Finally, he kind of loses it, and seeing multiple opportunities for him to pull into traffic, shouts in frustration, "Son, the sign says yield, not give up." Well, I want you to know, for the record, that this past week, Ellie passed her driver's license exam. She is now the happy holder of a license. And, you know, that worrisome prospect for her of being stranded without transport in Burlington, Vermont, where her new home is, was a pretty good source of motivation for her. Worry can indeed be a great motivator, but sometimes it can be so powerful that it does what? It paralyzes us. At least that's my experience, as we obsess over all the things that could possibly go wrong. Such paralyzing worry, I'm thinking that is really one of the things that is at the heart of this scripture that Ken read for us earlier. The slaves have a lot to worry about, frankly. Their master isn't known for his easygoing temper. The master entrusts them with his property while he's away, giving each a sum of money, 5 talents to one and 2 to the second and 1 to a third. Now, if you are not up on the monetary system of the Roman Empire, which you may not be, I always have to remind myself of this, a talent was the largest denomination of money. We're seeing here in a photo an ancient weight that would have been about that weight. A weight that would have been in silver and would have weighed at least 75 pounds. 75 pounds of silver. It was worth what a day laborer might earn in over 15 years of service. It's an enormous sum. So you can imagine why they might be worried. And we can sympathize with that third slave who, what does he do? He buries that talent. And in fact, Jewish law stated that you were not liable if you buried the possessions of others that have been left in your trust. So he didn't break the law, but nevertheless, this master is very unhappy. He's like the farmer who is asked by the stranger, "How's your cotton coming?" And he says, "Well, I ain't got none. Didn't plant it. Was afraid of the boll weevil." "Well, how's your corn then?" asked the man. "Well, I didn't plant any. I was afraid of the drought." "Well, how about potatoes?" "None of them either. Scared of teeter bugs." "Well, what did you plant?" the stranger finally asks. "Nothing," came the reply. "I just played it safe." So, like the farmer, the servant who plays it safe, or at least tries to, can't really do that. The master, after all, takes away what he has given him and casts him out. Why? Well, yes, it is because the master is that kind of master. But also because the master entrusted his money to him to be its steward and not to be its guard. His job wasn't to protect the assets. His job was to manage what he had been given according to how the master might have done that. And that meant investing the assets somehow. And investing, by its very definition, always means risk. Always means risk, after all. It would be absurd for a farmer to avoid planting seeds. And likewise, to have double the money entrusted to them, the successful servant had to risk losing some, if not all, of what was given them. And so by understanding that not risking these assets was actually irresponsible, those faithful servants were transformed from mere slaves into trusted stewards who would share in their master's joy. Now, I'm not going to claim that this parable is told to promote the need for lucrative financial investments. I'm not going to say that. I'm sure that our finance committee would like me to say that. No, Jesus is doing something else here. Jesus is trying to help us understand about the kingdom of heaven, God's emerging reign. That's Jesus' point here. But on the other hand, I think, Jesus does stress faithful stewardship and the need for a kind of investment. So what I'm wondering about is, how might we be stewards? How might we invest? Well, we can start by acknowledging that, like servants, we've been blessed with abundant resources. Blessed with abundant resources. Our world and everything that makes us up, our talents and abilities, the resources that we possess and that are in our hands, all of those things have been entrusted to us. And we could definitely bury those treasures. In fact, people are doing it all the time. But Jesus urges us to overcome our worries and instead to invest these things that we've been entrusted with, each one of us. So there might be some kind of incredible return on investment, the establishment of God's realm of love. And I think that what we do with all we have and all that we are might draw that reality closer. Or it might push it off further. Stewardship, to me, is the fearless investment of our gifts on behalf of the gospel, the good news of God's love. And it requires risk because the proper use of our gifts, loving other people, always requires risk. Whether we're talking about marriage or parenting, teaching your kid how to drive, friendship, all of these things are demanding in a certain kind of way. They're demanding because they expose our vulnerability. They demand giving. They demand caring. They demand trust. They demand hope, in fact. And therefore, they are risky. John Shedd said, a ship in harbor is safe, but that is not what a ship is for. Unfortunately, in my experience, many churches seem to have decided to remain in the safety of Harbor, though that is not what they are for either. Sheltering instead of providing sanctuary, at anchor instead of being an anchor for those people who feel at sea themselves. Moored instead of being the people who Jesus sent forth into the world to live God's word of love. Sails furled instead of drawing on the spirit wind that God sends to inspire us and to propel us forward. Yet the true business of the church is always risky business. And faithful discipleship always means risk. Yes, where there is risk, there is always going to be some danger. But the true danger is that out of modesty, we'll hide our light under a bushel. We'll refuse to risk what we've been given for fear of losing it. We'll bury our treasure in a miser's hole, maybe, denying its power to bring others to wholeness. We'll falter, maybe, in our commitment to live the message that God's love is a cause for hope and rejoicing. We might be paralyzed, failing to embody this transformative love, this good news, by risking what has been put into our hands, possibly losing it all, so we might discover the life-changing power that only comes from risking. As poet Thomas John Carlyle writes in the poem, Our Jeopardy, it is good to use best china, treasured dishes, the most genuine goblets, or the oldest tablecloth. There is risk, of course, every time we use anything. Or anyone shares an inmost mood or moment or a fragile cup of revelation. But not to touch, not to handle, not to employ the available artifacts of being, that is the quiet crash, the deadly catastrophe, where nothing is enjoyed or broken, or spoken, or spilled, or stained, or mended, where nothing is ever lived, loved, poured over, laughed over, wept over, lost, or found. Beloved, you impress me. You impress me because you may be rooted here in the center of Natick, but you are not clinging to safe harbor. I don't see you that way. You are reaching out, welcoming and affirming, including others, especially those who have historically felt excluded, taking stands that aren't appreciated by all who see them or hear them, but that reflect your aspirations, your values, your commitments. And you're also putting your treasure where your heart is, putting where your money, where your faith is as a congregation, risking, investing. Crucially, you are personally generous with your gifts of talent and time and treasure. Whether it's your annual giving or the special call to give through the Faith in Our Future capital campaign, you understand something that's really crucial. You understand that without your personal investment in this joint endeavor that we call church, we can't get out of harbor. We can't sail with our siblings in the family of God to those places where we are called to go. May you continue to be bold for the growth of God's reign of love. And may you be confident and not retreat in fear and worry. And may you thank God best for all that you have been given by sharing those gifts that you've been entrusted with, so that you might know the joy of God's abiding presence and discover what can only be found by overcoming fear and risking all. May our God make us faithful in all of that and so much more, because it matters. Amen. So we come to a time now, friends, of joining together our hearts in prayer. And on this day, I would lift up prayers of healing and ongoing for those who are experiencing the need for healing, and also for those who are in the midst of medical tests and getting answers for what their condition might mean. I pray for our congregation at this moment of the public phase of the kickoff of our capital campaign, that we might be guided well in being church together in that specific effort. And I ask if there are other written prayer requests that I might lift up this day. I believe there's one over here. Thank you. We lift up prayers for friends, Angie and Melissa, who are both battling stage 4 cancers from McCall. Prayers for Phil Jennings, who is in rehab recovering from a broken leg. And also prayers for our dear friends, the Hannon family. Let us continue now in a spirit of prayer as we pray. I invite you to do so with me. Generous God, you have given us breath and life and relationship and the possibility of joy, opportunity and challenge for the sake of our growth. Gift upon gift and the blessing of yourself and your living Christ. And yet we sometimes have been caught up in fear, failing to believe in your love. And so we ask you, Holy One, to awaken us anew to the truth of Jesus' teaching, to help us to hearken to your hopes and respond in the manner of your expectation, that we may truly honor your giving of life. Your love for us is manifest in what you entrust, so thank you. Thank you for the gifts of time and talent and treasure that we offer in your service, and for trusting us in spite of inadequacies with the responsibility of being your ambassadors of love in the world. Help us to serve you with every aspect of ourselves. Build up within us the confidence and the interest that we may be a delight to you in every way, and the instruments of love and care and peace and hope for others. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. People of God, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I think of this at some future date, maybe in the not too distant future. I want us to get real about how we have a call to be and how we indeed are the salt of the earth. So if Jesus is the bread of life, what does that mean for us who are salt? We'll return to that again. Salty ones. You who come to me, Jesus says, shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. In company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ and this life-giving bread and wine. This communion is open to all people. Come now, people of God, for all things have been made ready. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood in the new covenant, which has been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Beloved, we are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. Wherever you may be, rest your hands lightly upon these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them. And let us join together now in this prayer of consecration. Gracious God, bless this cup and bread and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. Amen. Beloved, let us in our many places now receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven. And let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing. And so I invite you now to take and to eat. And now I invite you to join with me in our unison prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. We give you thanks, powerful God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and peace. rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and willing to use that power in the service of those who are most in need. Amen. With us now and always. Go now in the peace of Christ.